Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Hello and welcome to the IGN UK podcast. My name is Joe Screbbles. I'm joined by Rory Powers to my left.
Hey everyone.
Alex Simmons to my right.
Hi Joe.
Hello. This is quite an unusual format for us. We've not really done podcasts as this trio. Have we ever? I think we might have once.
We must have once. I think
surely
the odds are.
In how I'm the latest one, that's 2.5 years. Of time.
Your chair is so creaky, Alex.
That's
that
not,
is mad.
It's not my chair, it's my elbows.
I think it says my ass. Just sitting in and farting. That's not my chair, that's my ass.
What a weird correction to make as well. Like, I think you'll find that's my ass.
I mean, if it wasn't going to upset some Americans in our offices, I would definitely be calling this episode, "That's not my chair, that's my ass." It might still happen. We'll
see. Who knows?
Yeah, I do apologize. This chair is ridiculous.
We could get another one if you want.
Dale says, here, I'll get you another one. I'll get you another one.
We got two people getting up. You're just leaving me alone because of one chair.
We'll go for this orange one.
Oh, that little orange. Good. That's a single molded piece of plastic, so you're not going to get any squeaks from that.
Just some technical difficulties on the pod.
This is the verisimilitude we offer as IGN UK. Everyone just knows that we're so real.
Oh, look at that.
There we go.
We're real
behind the scenes.
You
I like
look
that.
Shorter now. I don't like
it's
it.
It's a power play.
It's the opposite of
well,
a power
play. For you.
Oh, I see.
Like, yeah.
Well, I gave you the creaky chair.
Yeah, exactly.
Like we were talking beforehand, Rory's got one thing on the running order, which we'll get to later, which is just the most important news of the week, maybe year. We don't know what it is, and I thought maybe Rory was just going to engineer this podcast to be with his line manager so he could resign
you
as
never
soon
know.
As he comes on.
Let's see how it goes.
Well, hopefully we will know.
Let's see how good this podcast
in
is.
In about 40 minutes, we should know. But before that, let's talk about Just Cause 4, which is our IGN first this month. It's quite exciting.
You guys have played it a lot.
I think we played about 8 hours, maybe more.
Yeah.
We were there for 2 days.
Time just disappears when you're playing that game.
I know.
Because it's just like the ultimate sandbox.
There's a poster quote right there.
Time disappears while playing this game. Play it on the biggest TV possible.
Oh, what a shitty quote.
Like, that is a game that is basically designed for my playstyle.
Yeah.
It's just an open world where you can blow up as much stuff as possible with the most explosive weapons of all time. And I'm really glad that this game was just that.
Yeah.
It wasn't, I think you worded it really well in your preview where it's like there's a full story there that you can interact with and enjoy, but you can just as easily ignore it completely.
Oh, yeah.
And like, go crazy over the map.
And but be doing the story missions, but have no actual idea of why you're doing them. They're just like ones make a tornado hit these people and ones fly up to this blimp using all these different little yellow balloons.
Yes, they're almost just opportunities that are scripted to allow even more destruction, like better destruction. Because I remember I was trying to get really good B-roll of all this crazy stuff happening. And one of the PRs was like, you should do this mission. And I was like, well, I don't want to really do missions in story because I want to just make the craziest stuff possible. Yeah. And he was like, trust me, do the hurricane mission. And it was insane. It was like the best stuff we filmed all day because it's obviously engineered to have a hurricane ripping through an airport and like planes are being torn up into the skies. It was incredible.
It does feel like, of all the games coming out after Red Dead, this is kind of the only one I can think of where I'm just like, I wouldn't be worried if I was them. Because the kind of person who wants to play Just Cause 4 doesn't give a shit about Red Dead in the same way.
Yeah.
Like, those are two, they're both open world games, but they're completely different in tone and style. Like, playing so much Red Dead at the moment, you're just like, holy shit, they're telling me so many stories. And I'm like, and it's brilliant, but that's all it wants to do is create stories, whether I'm a part of them or not.
Yeah.
Just Cause is just like, just go here and blow it up and shut up for a bit. It's like jingling keys for a baby. It's just like, it just sits there and just entertains you in the most mindless way possible.
Well, everything I've seen so far, it looks like, I admittedly, I didn't play a lot of 3, but it looks like a step up in every way, which I think, you know, that's what that series needed, because I think with 3, it was like, it was all right, but it kind of done what it's already done. This feels like it's stepped up a gear and is delivering something, as you say, different from what a lot of the other games are doing right now.
Yeah, I think it's just trying hard to be as silly as possible for the first time, where there's always been, I mean, the story's still kind of there, but there's always been a hint of we're going to be a bit down to earth with some of it, whether it's the gunplay or whatever. And in this one, they just don't give a shit. Yeah. It's great. Like, it's approaching when Saints Row realized that actually what everyone wanted was not GTA.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Which I really like.
It must be weird for those guys to build this game, and you have to have like a whole team of people that's obviously there to work on the narrative with the voice actors and like scripting this huge, big story that's going to develop. And then you have another team just working on the physics of what happens when you attach a booster to a goat's ass. And they're probably the ones working twice as hard.
Yeah. The story guys are probably just sitting there like, I can't believe I've been given Rico's beard.
Like, Red Dead had a team of three people that worked for 2 years on horses. These guys had a team of six people working on goats with the rockets up their backsides.
Yeah,
do you think someone at Red Dead was just doing the balls?
I'm sure.
The horse's balls.
I don't know if it would have been someone's whole job, but it definitely would have been a card on a Trello board.
Urgent balls.
Yeah. Due today. Getting email reminders.
I'd be quite proud of that. Like, if I was involved with Red Dead, I would like the credits to you know, scroll at the end of it and be like, balls.
Just Rory. Balls.
Balls, Rory.
All types. That'd be quite good.
That'd be great.
You talking about... we can talk about most things with Just Cause, but there's a story... I can't say what you were doing, because that is one of the only embargoed things.
Oh, okay.
But there was a bit where we were shown something we're not allowed to talk about in public yet, where Rory had quite a specific task to do, which was get the stupidest weapons and test them all out in kind of controlled conditions.
Yep.
So we had good footage of all these things. And then they were like, oh, check this out. So they showed Rory this thing, and... you just used it. We've got like 40 minutes of capture of you just messing about with this one thing.
That I'm not allowed to show.
That we're not allowed to show.
It's not an efficient use of time.
We can at some point in the future.
Right.
But there was just this bit where I'm watching, I was like, I really don't want to be that guy, but should we be doing the thing for the footage we can show?
Can we move on to something that we can use?
Which is literally everything else in the game, bar this one thing. It was so funny just watching you go, oh my God, I could do this.
But it's good,
this.
It's good. Brilliant. That's one of the cool things is, like, obviously, as we said, explosions, that's Just Cause. But they've gone one step further, even in the weapons. So it's not like, hey, let's make a bigger rocket launcher. It's like, let's make a wind gun and a lightning gun.
Yeah, I saw some of the stuff that you guys have done. Yeah.
And, you know, all these, like, crazy different weapons that are way more creative than just a bigger explosion.
And secondary fire. I haven't seen secondary fire in a game since like Unreal Tournament or something.
Yeah.
It's like that weird pleasure of going like, wait, I wonder what the other thing is on this.
Can
and like you find out a sniper rifle's got a homing rocket underslung. It's just so dumb. It's brilliant.
It is great.
I really like it.
I think that's a really smart move as well, because in that game, one of the kind of infuriating things is that you can only have two weapons at once and like swap between them.
Right.
So it's not like having a huge weapon wheel or something. So you're basically doubling up all your guns.
Yeah.
If someone was like, I want to snipe, but then I'd have to get rid of my rocket launcher. It's like, well, take the one that also shoots rockets.
It's pretty good.
It's a great compromise.
It's really smart. We've got tons of Just Cause 4 stuff coming this month, so please do watch it all, because, oh my God, it's lots of work.
It's a lot
of
work.
Four of us just be like, oh my God, it's so much. But it is fun, so it's fine.
The supply drops look good as well.
Supply drops are well fun.
Yeah.
That was one of Just Cause 3's best things. And again, all what they've done is gone, let's not make it realistic. So you can like drop the cargo plane that drops supply drops.
Yeah.
And
so it's like four times the size of the boxes.
Yeah. Which was a thing in the last game, but there's like a boat the size of a town and like, which at one point we got that and put wind cannons on the front and tried to like drive it past other boats to see if they'd fly off
just
and stuff.
Blow them away.
It was brilliant. Like, it's just so stupid. I really enjoy it.
It is great. It's if you're into like sort of messing around sandbox games, it's almost like it feels like a mod of a real game.
Of a real game.
I'm sure the developer, you started off with a really good poster quote. Now,
let's
not so good.
It does. It sounds like Gary's mod, but for like Just Cause. It's awesome.
It's really cool.
Gav's mod.
It's Gav's mod. He hasn't even played it yet. Right. Overwatch.
Yeah, BlizzCon was last weekend.
Yeah, and less said about most of that, the better.
Well, that's why I focused on one thing. Yeah. And I don't know if you guys talk about Overwatch that often, But we're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because there was a new character.
We haven't spoken about Overwatch for a while.
Exactly.
So it's fine now.
So we're due. Fine. Welcome to the Overpod.
That's not my chair.
No more chat.
Overwatch.
So they showed off Ashe, which is the leader of the Gridlock gang.
Deadlock.
God damn it.
Anyway, I believed in you.
Well done. And I think she looks like my favorite character for a long time.
She's really interesting. Like, she looks properly. She's one of the first characters for a while where I've gone, she's doing stuff that I wouldn't expect an Overwatch character to do. Like, Wrecking Ball is weird, but he is ultimately like machine guns and an area of effect thing.
Yeah.
Whereas Ashe is doing like all sorts of trick shots and like weird little ideas.
Yeah.
And actually, coming back to Unreal Tournament, she's got a rocket jump.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't seen that for ages either.
Well,
it's brilliant.
Rocket jumps, alternate fires. She's got the lot.
She's just Cause in Overwatch form.
Also, is she one of the, like, is that the only character in Overwatch that has aim down sights? It must be. I know Widow has like
without
scope.
Yes.
But like she's got like the red dot sight essentially.
Yeah. Which,
like when you're seeing that in the Overwatch engine is so bizarre looking. Yeah. Again, that looks like a mod or something. It looks
oh
crazy.
My god, everything's a mod.
It's all mods, guys. Nothing's real. This is a mod of
simulation.
The thing I liked about it, and I don't know if you saw, there was a video, I think, of Duggan from our US team playing it, and he's very good at games.
I know, it's annoying, isn't it?
It's ridiculous.
But just
have you seen his arms as well? God, he's
maybe
fit.
That's why.
He's got so much tensile power in his arms. He just hit things really quick.
The controllers just buckle. Yeah. We'll do whatever you want.
He's the only guy who is allowed to ask for iron keyboards, because he just smashes through them.
But he showed off like the rocket jumps and moving around the map to get different angles and then shooting the dynamite midair, like way better than I thought the introduction video did from Blizzard.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen this. That's cool.
It's not like the intro video is going to be missing the dynamite.
No, I know. But like, obviously, that's very kind of prescribed and played out in a specific way. Mm. This is actually, right, I'm trying
in
to take
combat,
the whale in Ilios and showing how it works and like, you know, throwing the dynamite over a wall and just before it dips over the wall, shooting it.
Mm.
And it's like, I'm never going to be able to do that.
That's got
to
feel cool.
I'm glad I could.
Exactly.
Can other people shoot the dynamite?
Ooh, I don't know.
I was interested in that. We should actually just probably explain what Ashe is. She's like a cowboy biker lady with a rifle, a shotgun that propels her, is so powerful it propels her backwards.
Yeah, and it does a bit of damage.
And she's got an ultimate that is so extremely cool, which is calling in Bob, the big Omnic butler. Who comes in, smashes people into the air and shoots them with his own little wrist guns.
He's
just amazing.
Looks quite OP.
Apparently they originally, because he, you know, he can take a point.
Really?
Yeah.
So you just like chuck him in there.
You can throw him onto a point to hold it.
Right.
But
Jeff said they basically wanted to make him as much of another player as possible.
Mm. Right.
So he can be nano boosted by Ana. He can be healed by Mercy. He's like an actual player on your team.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he's not just like a weird cloud of effects. He is like a physical thing that can play the game. But originally they had it so that when you summoned him, he played as an AI character.
Right.
Like when you play the tutorial matches or whatever.
Yeah.
And they were just like, it was completely insane. Because people weren't using him to fight with. They were just using him to win games,
as
like stay on
player.
The point
or
get overtime or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is nuts. Like, it's such a strange thing to think about.
I would love it if the original like prototype Bob was similar to in the first Iron Man movie when he comes out of that cave after being in there for months
just
and he's just in
huge
that big metal suit just like evaporating people. That would be fantastic.
I mean, that's got to be an Overwatch character designer somewhere.
They've
Someone's
designed everything
done an
by
Iron
this
Man
point.
Guy.
Yeah.
They had Jetpack Cat. They've definitely had fucking Iron Man.
I think... I wonder how that's going to play out. Because when you summon him, does he just walk in a straight line? Is that how it works?
Yeah, so I haven't seen it in action, but I think it acts like Doomfist's punch. Like he goes in a straight line ahead of where you're aiming at that moment.
Okay.
And then just stops when he hits something. So I think when he hits a person, he then stops and turns around and shoots them. Or if he hits a wall, he just turns around and shoots.
Oh, that's cool.
So I think...
So you could send him into a fight or something.
People, they were talking about on the BlizzCon panel using him like a turret. So instead of trying to hit people, you'd send out Bob before they get somewhere so that he's behind them, almost like ganking them as they come past.
Yeah. That's very
cool.
So like,
you can run around the side and attack from different angles. Yeah,
so if you're stuck at like, I guess if you're stuck on like the Anubis first gate, like you could chuck him behind where all the people come into the gate from.
Yeah.
And then he's just hiding behind that fountain shooting people.
This is some real inside baseball now. This is getting
really cool.
But what would we do on Hanamura? Down 2-0.
This is just a huge Overwatch tactics podcast now.
Done, it's the Overpod. People, it's beautiful. Get into it. Yeah, I think that's one of the... She's one of the champions I'm looking forward to the most, I think, in a while. It feels like it's been a while since we've had a pure attack.
Yep.
Champion, because you've had a lot of like supports and shields and different ones, so I'm looking forward to trying this one out. Yeah. Although I'm like loving Doomfist now these days as well.
I'm fully into Brigitte, and I never expected to be,
because everyone hates her.
Yeah, but yeah, that's exactly why she's brilliant. She just can't die. It's incredible.
I still want to see you go back to Winston, because that was one of the funniest experiences.
One, maybe watching one life as Winston.
I really didn't know what the hell to do.
Oh, it was awful. Never again will I play
Which
that
is
monkey.
Me in with most characters, to be fair. So
yeah, I mean, but Rory's half the roster.
Better at games than I am. So
it's the arms. Is it? I got those Duggan arms.
Did you call him Duggan? Duggan. Like he's French.
I call him Duggan.
Jam Duggan. In terms of... I can't think of a good segue. Fallout 76. We've played the beta.
We have, yeah.
That game's weird.
So weird.
I still, like... Because I think... weird? I don't know. You like it more than the rest of us, I think.
Yeah. But the weird thing with me is... So I've never played a Fallout game before.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Which is why it's so weird for me to start with this one. And I think we all had the same kind of experience, which was we were playing it, and you guys played a big chunk of the beta online together in a group, but I was busy that weekend, so I had to put in my hours just solo wandering around. And I think that's why I enjoyed it so much, was because...
You're basically saying that if you hang out with these guys, it's a fucking waste of time.
They're awful.
I think it's if you hang out with anyone in that game, it's a waste of time. Because it is a it's a better game solo.
It's so much better.
Right.
It's so much, like, weirdly more immersive. And I know, like, we've talked about this a lot before. It's this problem where the idea was they want the only people alive in the world to be... people online.
Yeah.
That's why, like, all the AIs and the people you talk to are either dead or robots. Which, when you're running around with a group of people, gets quite dull quite fast. Mm. But when I was playing by myself and playing solo, I felt like I was being immersed a lot more in the world and all the tiny little moments that I was fine putting up with, like, robot AIs and doing these, like, really mundane missions. Whereas then when we played together, I don't know, because like we're quite loud, exciting people. I was glossing over.
He's
a
right,
lot
we
of,
are.
I was glossing
you
over
just
a
left
lot.
Left it
of, like,
loud, but calling yourself
we're
exciting.
Pretty exciting, cool, handsome people with big dicks. When we were playing the beta, like I didn't care how many mushrooms I had in my backpack.
Nah,
you know. But when I was playing solo, I was like much more into those little points.
Like trying to be. Yeah, it makes you feel more like an actual survivalist, like you are the lone wanderer.
Totally.
There is this weird fallacy of, like, we're going to fill... The same thing that Sea of Thieves did, where it's like, we're going to fill the world with real humans and nothing else. But people playing games don't act like real humans.
No. Yeah.
Like, the only way you can guarantee a human acting like a human is for them to be a computer doing it so that they're programmed to do it. Because, like, I've never played an online game and, like, gone to the shops... Like, I'm not interested.
No, why would you do that?
It's so weird. Like, I don't know why they've thought this is a great idea.
It is strange. And as you said, when you have those moments where, you know, you're alone in the radioactive wilderness, like hunting for supplies, and then some other guy dressed in an insane outfit comes hopping down the road, and you're like, well, that's just taking me straight out of it now.
It's really weird.
It is really strange.
You should be the outlier in the world, not like 80 people at one time.
This is a weird apocalypse.
I know, it's like all these people have been stuck in this vault. They've gotten out for the first time, and all they do is come out, take all their clothes off, and hit each other with wrenches. Like, it's not...
It's like,
or maybe
you picked
happen,
the wrong people to put in the vault.
Exactly.
These guys are freaks.
It's like, this is the... Especially 76, which is apparently, like, the golden vault full of, like, everyone who's great.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They're all fucking morons. I've seen them. It's so weird.
It's like the vault for the very unique survivors. Yeah. It's like you guys are very, very special. You need to go in this vault.
They get the gold jumpsuits so that all the other vault dwellers are like, oh, fuck, no, it's a 76er.
Exactly.
Who are those guys?
But yeah, it's weird because then later on, we played a mission, all of us together, where we were like, taking down, what's that big beast?
The Grafton Monster.
Taking down the Grafton Monster, adventuring around, killing scorpions. And that's when I was having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think it's strange.
There's a way, there's a midpoint, I think, where play as a team, but don't hang out together, if you see what I mean. Like, it's nice being in a world with other people, having a chat in your ear, like just passing the time.
Yeah.
Same way I like Sea of Thieves. But in this case, it's almost better to just be like, I'm going to go over here and maybe you'll need help at some point and then I can fast travel to you for free. But right. For most of the time, just walking around with someone, apart from anything else, everyone has to do the quests themselves, which means that like you're watching someone complete the quest and then it's like, oh, you haven't completed the quest though. So I was right there with them, like in any normal game.
What?
Yeah, exactly. It does this thing where you're just like, and oh my God, the worst thing is like, objects can only be used by one person at one time. So it's like,
right.
There's a quest really early on where it's like, cook a ribeye steak. And we had to literally queue up and wait for people to finish cooking to go up to the cooking station and make our own little ribeye steak. And you're just sitting there like, who thought this was
ridiculous.
A good idea?
Considering the whole game has been angled from that in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. If everyone has to go to this one fire and make this one ribeye steak, put like five fires there.
Yeah.
That way you'll never have a queue. It's so weird.
Or have like, well, you pass me the steak, I've got the frying pan, pass me the salt and pepper, whatever.
I mean, you've just made this a way more complicated cooking mission. It's like cooking mama for you.
I just want a flavour with my steak.
And that's the ultimate goal of Fallout 76. Exactly. Bit of flavour with your steak.
Cooking steak.
Rory, I want to hear what your news is.
Okay. Guys.
Are you not ready for the news?
No, I don't have a running order, so you just like slap me across the face with my own surprise.
That's exactly. Surprise! Surprise!
All right, guys, I don't want to freak you out here.
Yeah.
If anyone gets too excited, just raise your hand and we can take a little breather.
Okay.
They are doing a soft reboot of Shrek. And I think we need to talk about it on this podcast.
I'm into it. Let's go.
What's the definition of a soft reboot as opposed to a hard reboot?
Well, they're being very vague about it because I assume that even a soft reboot is still remaking that universe to a certain degree, right?
Mm. I think maybe it's...
Because if it's not a soft reboot, it's just another iteration.
I think it's allowing the much-loved Shrek canon to continue existing, but perhaps tangentially with the new Illumination Pictures version of Shrek.
Right,
so I think basically no one wants to let go of Lord Farquaad.
That's
so
what I was going to say.
Lord Farquaad still exists. You might not see him, but don't worry, he's not gone.
Okay.
It's just Shrek's over here.
I'm
now.
Just worried about the SCU, the Shrek Cinematic Universe.
Obviously.
Right. I want to make sure that chronologically we're still all in line.
Fiona's parents, voiced by John Cleese, and the other lady whose name I can't remember, they're still there. They're fine. They're chill.
Are you guys interested in this at all?
I'm interested in why you're interested.
Alex, exactly. It's Shrek.
I know. I watched it. It was on TV the other day.
Which one?
Shrek 1.
Good.
Classic.
But you still don't want to go back and watch it. I sat down with my kids and even they weren't interested.
Really?
No.
What do they want to watch? 7.
Shrek 2.
We're going to see The Grinch at the cinema this weekend. Looking forward to that.
I know we've reviewed it, but I didn't see the review score.
No,
is that Illumination?
I think it.
I don't know. It's Benedict Cumberbatch as The Grinch.
That's actually quite good.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
And the trailers look decent.
Benedict Cumberbatch is one of those actors where occasionally you hear him attached to a role. Like when he was attached as Shere Khan in the Andy Serkis thing. And you're just like, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Just go
and
for it, yeah.
What a lucky bastard.
He's got
and Smaug, yeah.
He's got a bitter little lemon face. That'll work well for The Grinch. All puckered up.
I was going to say, he's got a bitter little lemon face, so keep doing the animated roles, mate. I don't want to see him. Have you seen him do Smaug, like motion captured?
Oh, no.
It's one of the funniest things you'll ever see.
Is he doing a full-on like dragon face?
Maybe it is Shere Khan. It's one of those two characters, but he's got all the dots on his face, but he's having to like act like a monster.
Either a dragon or a...
Yeah, but they're tracking his face, so he's just like crawling around. Like, so it's really weird seeing Benedict Cumberbatch. Like, upstanding posh actor just be like,
because you expect that from Andy Serkis.
Exactly. Yeah.
Not from him.
It's properly funny.
That sounds great.
I'm going to find it.
That's like
really
when you're trying to use like animojis and you have to over exaggerate all your facial expressions.
And then you realize the animojis like looks more natural than you.
Way more natural.
So
yeah.
Occasionally it does that thing where it can't track your face anymore because your face has gone so mad and you just see this glimpse of yourself. It's like, oh shit,
don't look at me.
There's a really funny YouTube video of a girl doing like a scary face Snapchat filter. So when you open your mouth, it goes like, bleh! And turns your face mad.
Yeah.
But it won't work and she's getting really annoyed and then she like goes to shout at the screen and it turns into that thing and she just freaks out herself. It's so good. But then it keeps going on her face because she's screaming. It's the best.
I love those videos.
Technology is incredible.
There's also the one where that laser beam comes out of the kid's nose by accident when it won't activate. It's fantastic.
This is a part of the internet I've just not seen.
Oh. This is what happens when you talk about Shrek. It launches you off into weird territories.
What do you want a Shrek reboot to do? A soft one.
I want it. I'm fine with it not including previous Shrek films. I'm happy with a fresh start. Mm-hmm. All I want is the original voice actor.
I was going to say.
That's it.
Mike Myers.
Murphy.
And, Eddie Murphy.
Cameron Diaz.
Yeah. You get those three, I'm in.
Yeah?
I'm in. Let's go to the swamp, baby.
What? Well, surely that's doing exactly the same as the last one. Let's go somewhere else.
If there is a reboot and they do change the voice actors, which three would you want for those three principal roles?
So Shrek, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bit of lemon
crawling
face.
Around on the
really
ground.
Skinny, sour.
Ooh,
Shrek.
Welcome to the swamp.
Doing Sherlock stuff, like investigating.
Donkey would be Danny DeVito.
Yeah, perfect. Into it.
And who would we want as Fiona?
Chelsea Peretti from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I'm in.
I'd love a really, like, a much sassier, like, flamboyant Fiona.
Yeah,
that's
would be fantastic. Like, always on her phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
just get her to play Gina from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. That's
I'm into
fine.
It. That's my suggestion.
I'm into it.
Imagine if that actually happened.
Red Dead Online, you want to talk about it?
Well, yeah, because they announced that the beta is happening at the end of this month.
Yes.
This week.
Which I'm quite glad about. I was worried, not least from a work standpoint, of like them just dropping, like just turning it on overnight.
Yeah.
They've got to give people some heads up on that.
Well, I am nowhere near completing the single player game.
I'm in chapter two.
I'm in chapter three. Powers, where are
you? I haven't started it, so I'm pretty far back.
Well, this is definitely going to be a spoiler-free discussion about
it. Yeah, I might just go straight into online and skip the story.
That's actually not the worst idea, because it kind of get you into it in a different way.
Well, presumably there's not that much overlap as well in terms of narrative. Like, think about how much the GTA Online and GTA campaign crossed with each other.
See,
it was borderline nothing.
I'm guessing it will do that thing where it's like side characters from the main campaign appear as your mates in it.
Yeah.
Like when Lamar was in it.
Which I'm fine with.
Yeah.
I mean, might get some people to play for a bit and I'm like, is there any spoilers? And if they say no, I could go
straight
into online.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I wonder when it... They're not going to say it afterwards, are they?
Probably
not. It'd be weird.
Probably not.
But I was just thinking, like, with it coming in, what, maybe 2 to 3 weeks,
mm-hmm.
What do you want from that online game?
I want it to launch with its own story. Like, because that was the problem with GTA Online, is that it launched and felt completely aimless. Like, you could rob some places. That was kind of it.
So you mean like heists?
Yeah.
The equivalent of heists.
I'm not, maybe not even as elaborate as heists, just a straightforward, you can
some
go
structure.
And there's like, there are some people talking to you and giving you missions. Yep. Like, because those are the moments of GTA Online where I feel like it really has...
Because there was a bit of that in online, GTA Online, with Lamar right at the beginning.
Yeah, but he just picked you up
it,
and then just
it.
Dropped
yes.
you off.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it
yeah.
didn't feel... Like, it felt like that was a guy whose job was to go, here's who you are, here's where you are, there's the world, see you later. And they kind of just did the... I don't want it to just be over here's Battle Royale, over here's Deathmatch, over here's whatever else.
I don't think it will be.
I hope not. Because they keep saying they've taken cues from what they loved most about GTA Online.
Yeah.
And to them, it's heists. So it's got to launch with some of that stuff, surely. Maybe not the beta, but the full version.
No, yeah, exactly. I don't think the beta will be full of that. I think that's literally going to be a stress test of various different game modes.
Yeah.
Because it got me thinking. Some of the things I want to see is, obviously, in GTA, you had crews.
Yeah.
But they didn't really mean anything.
Like, yeah.
I don't think... Like, we created an IGN UK crew. I don't think we did anything with that crew whatsoever.
They were just something to jump into, weren't they? It's like an extended friends list where you're like, I can just join anyone from my crew.
Yeah, the crews were kind of irrelevant, especially towards the start. But then later on, they kind of created different versions of that, which was like having gangs where you would have like an organization. And that's when you would have like a clubhouse and a leader, and the leader would have bodyguards.
And you have bodyguards. And like, so I was thinking, like, if Red Dead, because obviously the single player is an extension of that anyway with Dutch's gang. If you could have your own gang, and like, even if it keeps the same thing, so I don't know, you'll have teams of up to four like you do in GTA. But you've got an extended gang that you can pull on, then you can share your resources, whether it's funds or weapons or whatever it might be. That would be cool.
You're gonna be able to buy a saloon, aren't you?
I would hope so.
I think so. And like a backdoor like clubhouse or something. That would be amazing.
Deluxe baths upstairs. Yes, please.
What would we call our gang?
The Rootin' Tootin' UK Boys.
I like that. I was going to go for the Wander Boys, so that's
the Wander Boys.
We wander, we're boys.
Yeah, both of those.
Simple
work.
As that.
Or Wander Men, if you want to go for that edgy kind of sound.
Or Wander Boys. What the makes Wonder us boys. Sound like male strippers?
Well, he's got a backdoor club, so God knows. There you go.
It's just a load of can-canning half-nude cowboys.
Look, in Red Dead Online, anything's possible.
Down to their spurs. It's the Wonder Boys.
I wonder how they'll do, like, because obviously a huge part of GTA is buying, is vehicles, like cars and things. I wonder how they'll handle horses. Like, you just be like, oh yeah, check on your cowboy phone. There's a brand new, like, super fast turbo horse in the store this week. Like, what is going to be the alternative
maybe
you'll
get a telegram.
Like, at some point it's gonna go, we know it's gonna go nuts, because this is what they did with online. At some point you have to jump the shark.
Do you think they will though?
I think so,
yeah,
because Red Dead itself, the pacing of it is so different from GTA, and online for GTA is a natural extension of that.
Yeah.
That pacing cannot work for me in an online game, I don't think, because the world is completely different. And as you say, if it's filled with other humans, they're going to be pricks.
Yeah.
There is no, I doubt you're going to walk around and say, howdy partner, to all these other humans.
Well, the Wonder Boys as well.
The Wonder Boys will be
welcoming
lovely.
To all.
And then dead within 5 minutes.
Yeah, the majority of us probably, yes.
But that's just the noble art of gentlemanly conduct.
Is it?
Yeah,
right,
and that's what we're going to be.
I do wonder if the first weird thing they'll do online, presumably following campaign, would be zombies
it's
in some form.
Yeah.
Like placing them somewhere on the map.
Make
and
sense,
then
wouldn't it?
That's a thing like a horde mode that you can now do with your clan
that'd
or your
be
group
quite
or whoever
good.
It is. Yeah. That could be really interesting.
I'd like... I don't know. I'd like them to like take that slow. I'd want to feel like I'm in cowboy world for a while.
Yeah.
And then they can do silly stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I'm guessing per vehicles, like maybe you'll get those stagecoaches with Gatling guns in the back and stuff like that. You know, like they'll go sillier levels of stuff that your gang can use together, but not absurd.
Yeah.
Like, but then by the end, I want Wild Wild West, the giant iron spider that Kenneth Branagh's in.
I was just thinking.
The hover trains.
I want a hover train
immediately. The perfect DLC would be the DeLorean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can just ride it around like you went back in time.
That's it, the DeLorean from Back to the Future 3. Well, the flying train
and
thing.
Yeah. They've already made DeLoreans in the other game.
Exactly.
Just drop it in.
Control C, Control V. Boom.
It's asset flip
it, $20. We'll see you next Christmas.
Motherfuckers.
I'm sure that's how Sam and Dan Houser go, boss, there you go, just walk
boom.
Like, the other thing that I thought would be interesting, because obviously you are an outlaw in the single player game, but I would like to go the other way and be like a sheriff.
And I guess that would be...
Because you can't in GTA, you're still a bad guy.
It feels like
regardless.
You're not going to be able to be a sheriff, but I'm sure you could be a bounty hunter.
Yeah, maybe.
I bet.
Because
I wonder if they'll take a similar tack to Fallout 76, where it's like, if people start murdering too many people, it's like, well, I guess this is in GTA Online as well.
Yeah.
It's just like, this person's bad. Yeah. Whoever kills them gets a load of money.
Yeah.
That'd be quite good.
That would be cool. But I'm the same as you. I'd like to be a justice enforcer online. I think that's way more interesting than just running around decking people.
You want to be a human banhammer?
I think so.
That'd be quite good. Like, I was for a second, I was like, oh, imagine how good it would be if you could like hog tie someone and you had to take them back to a sheriff's house. And I was like, imagine how shit it would be being them.
Oh, yeah, every 10 minutes watching yourself smacking on the back of a horse's ass.
That'd be properly bad.
That'd be really funny.
But then don't get hogtied.
Don't be a dickhead.
Exactly.
I wasn't even thinking about it, but I genuinely might start with online.
I think that's
now that it's I've come this far.
And I also think like
what this far? It's been like 2 weeks.
Yeah, but if it's only a week or two away,
for the beta.
2 weeks away. Yeah, like, for the beta, that's true.
The thing. Like I think you won't get you're not going to get a full fat experience for a few months. I wouldn't have thought.
You don't. A few months.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was going to be much shorter than that. In my head, it's going to be quite quickly.
I don't know.
Oh no, I know.
I'm just clarifying before I get the Rockstar ban hammer. there is no insider information here.
You're banned from your career.
Exactly. Yes. But I feel like what GTA kind of got up to speed. Not even 3 months. It took a long time for that game to sort itself out.
Yeah.
Still live, right? It still was like beta and
but
live.
I think they've learned a lot from that, and I would be surprised if they put out something that isn't. I reckon, like, for example, I think the beta will go under a number of different
iterations,
yeah.
Yeah. I never really thought about it. For some reason in my head, beta would just turn into the full version at some point. But I don't know why I have that.
Yeah, because obviously they have to fix whatever happened in the beta. You need time to do that.
Yeah.
It can't just be like, and then tomorrow we're going to roll out the full thing.
There was a weird thing with the Fallout 76 beta where the whole point was like, break it and tell us what's wrong.
Yeah.
And they brought out a list of like, here's what we're going to change. They didn't mention like a load of mental stuff we've seen going wrong in that game. It was really odd. Like they're increasing the size of your item stash and stuff, and you're like, I saw trees appearing and disappearing as I walked towards them a lot. Fix that first.
Apocalyptic world. That's what happens.
Yes. Nuclear trees. That's what happens.
Just like growing and ungrowing every so often. It was well weird. Do you have any other suggestions for Red Dead Online?
No.
That's all of them.
Yeah.
Okay. We covered a lot.
I felt like we covered a lot.
No, I know, I'm
DeLoreans,
just
Wonder Boys,
I just
Team
wanted
Saloons.
To have a mean segue. Right, feedback. Last week, were any of us on the podcast last week?
I haven't been on in ages.
I've heard that they asked for people's favourite, so far, Red Dead anecdotes. And I had Dale, thankfully, look through this and make sure none of these were spoilery. These are all just emergent moments playing in the world. Because I definitely looked at one of these during the week. And it felt like they were just talking about a side quest. I was like,
the fact that Dale was playing post-endgame stuff at his desk in front of everybody else.
You were more upset about
that, to me,
I suppose, yeah.
Is instant dismissal.
You've got, and that's why he's not here.
Exactly. Yeah. Fuck that guy.
You've got direct eyeline to him.
Well,
though.
If you go to the toilet, you have to walk past his desk.
Do you look at everyone's computers when you walk past? Is that just a boss thing?
Like, not really.
Like, what are they
doing? But it is there, and it's like, oh, Red. I can't help but look at Red Dead.
Right, okay.
Yeah. And apparently Krupa saw something that you wish you hadn't.
Oh, really?
I don't know what it was.
Oh, that's a shame. So, I started playing it in the office, and I didn't stop because I thought anyone would be upset. It's just because I've swapped the PS4 Pro that I had on my desk to bring that home. I've got my old day one PS4 on my desk, and it sounds like it's going to fucking burn down the entire office whenever I'm playing it. I had people from like Kilby's desks, like six desks down, standing up and being like, what is that noise?
I was looking under the desk going like, what's going on? What is going on?
It's right? horrible.
We were doing a Let's Play in here with one of these PS4s. And at one point, we had to just stop. And I was like, that's coming through on the mics. It sounds like a jet engine is ignited in this studio.
Absurd.
It is crazy.
Right. I'm going to read out a Red Dead anecdote.
Go for it.
Because I've done my one. It's boring. It's about my PS4 exploding. Jordan Kiefer says, hello, gents. Just want to say, I am loving Red Dead, and I found this interesting house in an earlier section of the game that I'm sure is obvious, but I haven't heard anyone discuss it yet. It was by itself off a trail, and when I went inside, there was a mass suicide that had taken place. There was a cult leader at the front, surrounded by a bunch of melted wax candles and skeletons in several bunk beds. Also, I saw a bear fight off three wolves in the snowy mountains over a bit of food. I'm having more fun exploring and finding these types of things than I am in continuing the amazing story, which leads me to believe I will be playing Red Dead for a long time to come. Jordan, that is exactly why I'm only in Chapter 2, because I literally can't stop just going, I wonder what's over there. And like finding a treasure map and stuff like that.
So I think I was saying to you, I did something similar, just left the camp behind and found a house in the middle of nowhere and robbed it, shot all the people, robbed it, came back to camp.
Said that so casually.
And then chatted to one of the other gang members. He was like, got a hot tip. There's a place up there. Got loads of treasure. Same house. When I went up there 10 minutes later, I was like, is this weird? Same people, all back again. And I was like, oh, storytelling's not so clever after all.
I thought you were going to come back and he's just like, it's like, oh, where were you? And you're like, I just went to the bathroom. And he's like, oh, cool. I just went to go visit my my nan. She lives down the road there with my two cousins. Beautiful place. And you're like, oh, wearing her pearls on your neck.
Now that would be fun.
Oh, this is awkward. I have an email here from Alec Trout. Alec Trout says, am I supposed to read all of this in brackets section?
Yes, you are.
Okay.
He doesn't say that.
Alec says, hey guys, I've only heard tell from a couple people that have experienced this, but the way the scene played out for me was so crazy and I had my jaw drop that I had to write in and tell you. So, on my first initial journey into the southeast part of the map near St. Denis, just to explore, I came upon the swamps for my first time. While taking in the scenery and beautiful atmosphere, I noticed an X on my mini-map, designating a dead body. Wanting to see what was going on, I rode over and saw a man hanged in one of the Spanish moss-style trees along the bayou. As I slowed and turned my horse around to try and catch a better look at the man, I noticed red blips popping up on the map directly behind me. I panned the camera around as these crazy-looking swamp people with face paint and hardly any clothes on came stalking up to my horse. I frantically tried to pull out my handguns to take the guys out when one of them had reached me and yanked me off my horse. Finally arming myself, I dispatched the first man as the second closed the distance. This is so dramatic.
It's written like creepypasta.
Yeah.
Also, like, you're, like, it's proper story time with Rory Powers.
It's brilliant. I want some spooky music.
He closed the distance and stabbed me straight in the throat, immediately killing poor Arthur. I was utterly shocked and tried to explain to my mates what had just happened in our Xbox party. Still the most amazing and crazy thing to happen to me so far.
I had no idea there were swamp people. I've been to those swamps loads.
It's crazy. I'm only, again, because I haven't played it, I'm only... what I have to put up with in the office is everyone swapping their incredible
like
stories from the road. And that's quite interesting because I feel like I'm one of the shopkeeper NPCs that just stays in the town and all these travelers breeze by and tells me about swamp people and all these crazy things they've seen. That is really cool.
That's very cool.
Like Krupa was saying that he was riding, I think it was the same area at night and saw like a light, flames in the distance in the woods. And it was the Ku Klux Klan and like burning crucifixes and stuff like that. And again, going through some mad shit.
Yeah.
So I saw a really good video the other day of someone just using Deadeye to target every single person in the Ku Klux Klan bar one and just shooting all of them in one sweep. And then that one person just running away and him just blasting them. It's very therapeutic watching.
So Rob Shearman says, I was riding between towns when I heard a woman calling for help. I realized she was hogtied on the back of a horse coming towards me. Being the good cowboy I am, I decided to save her, so I stopped when they got in range and shot the kidnapper. So far, so good, right? Well, now the unridden horse was pretty startled, so I decided to lasso it to get close enough to save the woman. I successfully lassoed the horse, then rode my horse into a tree, fell off, and the lasso came off. The kidnapper's horse then stood still until I got near it when it ran off into the distance, still with the woman on the back.
Oh, God.
I can't imagine what the locals must have thought when they saw it, because in the end, I caught up to it, the rescue woman who was waiting for me, and I collected my reward, and it was a job kind of well done. But hang on. Actually, no, that didn't happen because he cut the woman free and she simply said thank you and then ran away. That happened to me. I spent ages helping out someone who was getting shot by other people. And it's that whole thing of like, you know, the wrong button press. Mm. And I think I pointed my gun at him and rather than collecting my award, he just fucked off. So I just shot him.
Yeah, fair play.
Yeah.
I've never thought about the idea that you could use another horse to transport more stuff. Like,
like lead it along.
Yeah.
Or lassoed.
Like if you lassoed another
horse
from your horse, you could have twice as many things that you put on the back of your horse.
Another cool thing is if you throw a corpse into the lakes near the bayou,
the bayou,
If you leave it long enough, a croc will come up and eat it.
Yes, please.
Ooh,
delicious.
What a great game.
It is a really cool game.
I've played it.
Yes. I just love it.
Imagine doing that, but you're hogtied for ages online. And you have to wait till you're eaten.
Well, that's it. Imagine, yeah, hogtied, and then you just turn a corner quickly, like drifting with a horse. So your body goes out and you just dangle it over near a crocodile.
That would be very cool.
That sounds quite good. You sound almost turned on.
Crocodiles are fucking evil in that game.
They are. They're really hard.
They're really hard. I've not managed to kill one yet.
I killed one, but it was running away from me.
Oh, I felt quite sad. Bad
about it. I was trying to keep its skin, its pelt, whatever you want to call it, in decent nick, and I haven't got the right arrows right now.
So I find it really hard to get proper pristine pelts and all that stuff.
Well, apparently there was some ammo that I needed for my rifle. Didn't have it.
Fair play. That's everything we have. We'd like to keep reading Red Dead anecdotes because, frankly, that's all anyone's doing right now.
Yeah.
So you might as well keep sending them in. Also, your dream casting for Shrek reboots would be fantastic. I would love to know what freakish concoctions people come up with.
Absolutely.
Also, what... Yeah, if anyone could tell us what a soft reboot actually is, that'd be quite good. I'd be into it.
All good.
Well, that's all from us. So thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Rory.
Thank you,
always
Alex.
A pleasure.
Thank you, Rory.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen.
Fantastic.
Right. See you later.
Good day.
Bye.
Nowadays, trends and news cycles change faster than we can blink. But there are some things that withstand the test of time. And if you're looking for a connection to something timeless, and maybe also a glimpse of life at a slower pace, I believe everyone can relate to the very human experiences explored in Jane Austen's novels. And that's where I come in. My name is Alison Larkin. I'm a writer, comedian, and narrator and host of The Jane Austen Podcast with Alison Larkin. I spent a lot of my childhood in the part of England where Jane Austen lived and wrote, and now that I live in the States, nothing gives me a sense of homecoming quite like narrating her books. On this show, you'll listen to award-winning narration. I'll give myself a pat on the back for that, as well as conversations with actors, writers, and other fascinating people who all share a passionate love for Jane Austen. So please, join me as we embark on a wonderful journey through Jane Austen's work. Be sure to listen and subscribe to The Jane Austen Podcast with Alison Larkin, wherever you get your podcasts.